Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Romans, a 2,000-year history. It's a great pleasure to welcome Edward J. Watts, the very distinguished chair and professor of history at the University of California at San Diego. And we begin with the rise of the empire and the decline of the republic. It begins in a war in North Africa, Numidia. Remember now, Rome controls the Mediterranean basin. And a man named Marius rides out to be a hero. However, with him is the man we're going to focus on as an unusual figure in terms of Rome's violence, but in terms of Rome's thinking about itself as the empire of the world. Professor, a very good evening to you again. We begin with Marius's staff. He's successful against in Numidia because of a man named Sulla. What is Sulla to Marius, and what is Sulla at the time of his success?
I think this is the first chapter in what will be the end of the Republic, in large part because of the rivalry between Marius and Sulla. So Marius is a general of relatively modest background, and Sulla is a general from a longstanding patrician family that had fallen on hard times. And so each of them feels like they have something really significant to prove, and each of them really sort of leads their life with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. But the war in Numidia was consequential because Marius was brought in as a populist who was fighting against what he saw as a corrupt senatorial order. And it brought together an army that was made up of people who did not meet the traditional property requirement for Roman citizens to serve. So that was an army that became very devoted to its commander so that they could earn money by fighting and ultimately profit from the war. So Sulla is a part of that staff. And what Sulla realizes is that these soldiers are a tremendous political asset. And so during the last decade of the second century BC, Marius uses these soldiers as sort of political and military assets to build both a prestigious military career and then also an unprecedentedly successful electoral career, winning a whole sequence of consulships in a row. As you move into the first decade of the first century BC, this model of having professional soldiers is something that other commanders emulate, and Sulla particularly becomes very interested in this. And in the later part of the 90s and early 80s BC, Sulla rises to the level of a consul, using the support of his soldiers, his professional soldiers, to do this. And this sets up a rivalry with Marius that ultimately in the 80s BC is going to result in a civil war, where Sulla convinces this professional army to march on the city of Rome and capture the city of Rome to benefit Sulla's own political career.
There are some drawings that illustrate this, because Sulla understands a lesson that's been repeated for the last 600 years. If you show mercy to the conquered, they will bite back. No mercy is demonstrated by Sulla whatsoever. He puts out prescription lists, and the most amazing part to me is that he's wiping out the Senate. He wants a completely new Senate, and he does it with a fashion that he doesn't speechify, Professor. Sulla feels like all these years later, his reputation is that of a killing machine. Is that fair?
So when Sulla ultimately wins the Civil War against Marius, dies in the course of the Civil War, but when he wins the Civil War against Marius's allies, he holds a meeting of the Senate next to the circus in which he is executing 6,000 prisoners of war.
Who are screaming. Yes.
And the Senate meeting starts with Sulla saying, I am going to restore the Republic, while senators are listening to these people being tortured to death. And so what Sulla really believes is you can rebuild the Republic by destroying everybody who was opposed to you and by terrifying everybody who's left.
And he puts out lists that if you turn the person in on the list, you'll get his land. Well, you'll divide it with Sulla.
So yeah.
He's becoming beyond dictator. He's becoming the angel of death.
And the strangest thing about this is he still believes it's a magistracy. And so he's doing this. You know, he's killing large numbers of people. And then ultimately, when he decides he's accomplished what he needed to accomplish, he retires.
And that is bizarre. Come on, Ed. That's bizarre. I know you're going to mention Cincinnati. Okay.
It's bizarre, except if you're Roman. And if you're Roman, it actually makes some sense to you, right? I did what I was asked to do. I restored the Republic. Yes, okay, it was bloody. And yes, okay, I stole massive amounts of property. And yes, okay, I probably killed 100,000 people or more. But I restored the Republic, and now my task is done, so I'm going to go home and write poetry.
Watching this are three younger men. One is named Pompey the Great, a great general. One is named Crassus, a property developer by using fire. And the richest man ever in Rome. And one is named Caesar. They watch Sulla's achievements. They sweat a little bit because they could come their way, but they don't. And what do they take from Sulla? What does Caesar take from Sulla?
Each of these men is deeply scarred by the experience with Sulla. Now, Pompey was probably the one who came out the best because he was able to build a power base that Sulla wasn't willing to tangle with. Caesar, I think, initially came off the worst because Caesar's father was, his property was confiscated by Sulla. Caesar was married to the daughter of one of the allies of Marius, and his aunt was married to Marius himself. And so Sulla really, even though Caesar is quite young when Sulla wins the civil war, Caesar is really hit hard by some of the things Sulla asks. And he ultimately has to be put into exile and live off of his mother's family's property because of Sulla. And so Caesar takes away from this the idea that, you know, this is so unjust. In a Roman state where citizens are supposed to be shareholders with rights, Sulla violated that. And he violated that by claiming initially he was doing it for the public good. But ultimately, very quickly, actually, it became clear that the public good meant whatever Sulla thought it did. And rights didn't matter. Protections didn't matter. And being a Roman citizen no longer mattered. And so what Caesar took away from this was a couple things. First, the Republic is great if you can actually uphold the standards that are supposed to be there. But Caesar didn't really trust that the Republic's standards could be upheld. He didn't say this out loud, but he didn't in his heart believe this. And so there's this tension between trusting the Republic and actually, adhering to the principles that he believed were the right things for the Republic to be grounded on. And in the end, Caesar chose to not trust the Republic. Even though he really wanted those principles, even though he really wanted the Republic to survive, Caesar ultimately made the decision that he needed to take his own fate in his own hands because the system and the structures of the Republic couldn't preserve him.
March 44 BC, the day the Republic died, along with Caesar. Why? Because the men who struck Caesar down believe he wanted to be king, believe he wanted to be dictator beyond dictator to king. Was that true at the time? Your reading of Caesar, did he have kingship in mind?
No. I think what Caesar was looking to do was establish some sort of a permanent condition where he could be the guarantor of the rights of Roman citizens. He wanted a republic that would work, but he understood that the only way the republic would work in a fashion he was comfortable with was if he was on top of it as a dictator who governed to be sure that the structures of the Republic actually did what they were supposed to do. The problem that I think Caesar didn't understand is Caesar believed he's operating under, you know, out of a commitment to higher principles and to a basic idea of republicanism. Other people didn't believe this. And Brutus and Cassius particularly didn't believe this because there were certain moments that Caesar would say are aberrant. Following, say, a couple of military victories in 46 and 45 BC, where Caesar actually did massacre Roman citizens instead of pardoning them. Caesar saw that as aberrant. Brutus and Cassius saw that as tyrannical. And so for them, Caesar is a tyrant who needs to be destroyed. Caesar did not understand that this was how people perceived him because he didn't believe that was what he was doing. And he personally would have agreed that that's abhorrent.
Birth of an Empire, next. The Romans, a 2,000-year history. Edward J. Watts is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.